Hello, brothers and sisters. Hope you guys had a good week and a good weekend. Sunday's up on us. It's Sunday night, and Monday is creeping up on us, right? Another beginning of a work week, and for most of us, I hope you guys had an awesome service today, and that it's just the word of God touched your heart, and that it just ignite your spirit and created fire inside you to go out there and to make a difference, a change. Because the whole point is we go to church to charge our batteries. And then when we step out Monday and the rest of the week, our life should reflect that change. That's the thing. The problematic issue with the church today is that they do the thing on Sunday, and then Monday you cannot tell a difference. And that's a problem that is among all denominations, is a lack of change. And you can speak a good game on Sunday, you can teach a good sermon, or you can preach a good sermon, or you can listen to a sermon, or whatever you're doing. But if you step out Monday and your life is not reflective, people can't tell a difference. You blend right in with everybody else. Well, this frankly disgusts God. And it's sad that most of churches in the members or the people in churches do this, and a lack of grieving of the Holy Spirit of doing this is an indication, not my words, the indication that there is no change that took place. I don't care if you preach to 10,000 or you teach studies, if you're not different than the rest of the people and they can't tell that you're different, you're not a child of God. That's really just simple as that. And the Bible tells us that in scriptures upon scriptures upon scriptures. But it amazes me how people can avoid those scriptures, or how Satan has blinded them, right? So I'm going to get off my soapbox on that part. We're going through spiritual warfare, talking about that, and I'm very passionate about spiritual warfare. And that's part of the spiritual warfare too, And what we're going into is the Word of God, the part where the sword. And what I've been doing is I'll read through Ephesians 10 through 18, 10 through 20, And one thing I like to do, I like to begin with the Word of God, and I like to follow it with scriptures, scripture upon scripture, because my opinion doesn't matter. I can give you my opinion all day in the world, and of course, like any preacher, we got a ton of opinions. And I try to be very clear to let you know it's my opinion when I say when I give a statement that is not too clear in scripture. I won't tell you it's my opinion, because I'm not here to misguide you. I ain't here to misdirect you. I am not here to deceive you. I go by the Word of God. I believe going straight to the Word of God, and because the Word of God is powerful, the words that's here, and it's when we're teaching or doing everything, we got to make sure we're following it back with scripture, because that's our sword. Knowing the Word of God is very important. And I've been doing this series for maybe over a month now. My wife and I, we've done through several Bible studies. It's hard to find a really good Bible study on spiritual warfare. I found a few of them, and they're really good. We have to recognize we're on a war, and the beginning of this sermon series is Invisible War. You can find it on my website. You can hit, it'll go, you would go below it, you find Invisible, and you will work your way up. We work through most of the parts of the armor of God that a child of God has on them. The part that we're talking about today will be the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to begin with scripture, because that's the most powerful way. I may not do a very adequate job explaining the scripture, because I'm human and I let the Holy Spirit lead me on what to say. But sometimes you let that flesh get in the way and you don't say what you're supposed to say. So I like to start with scripture, because when we go with scripture, his scripture doesn't, when it goes out there, it doesn't go void. So whoever hears this and reads these passages, you know, I pray that you just tear into the passage yourself, and if I say something wrong, just correct me. You know, I believe in correction. I'm human. So if you have your Bibles with me, turn to Ephesians 6, the same passage as we've been reading. And I'm going to start with 10, and I'm going to just read to 20 today. Finally, our brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take up on you the whole armor of God, that ye might be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shone with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take on the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, watching thereon with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. And I'll just read the next couple verses here. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in the bonds, that therefore I may speak boldly as ought to speak. If you guys would bow with me, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come today, Lord, just discussing your word, Lord, and the importance of the armor of God. How very important for us to put it on, to keep it on, especially when we leave, we go Sunday in the church, the night service, and we go into this world, and with Monday we're entering into a battlefield. This is war. This is battle. This is brutal. But many Christians think it's a game. This ain't no game. It's a war. It's a battle that will tear you apart. And Satan is taking many people to hell with him, because the inefficiency of discipleship, the inefficiency of being able to spread the scriptures, the inefficiency for us to explain salvation and to take up the armor and to gain ground for you, Jesus. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you give us the strength on Monday and the rest of the week, the months, the years, until you come back. And we know you're coming back soon, Jesus. This world is in shambles. It's falling apart. The church is becoming ineffective for the cause of Christ. We pray that you raise up spiritual leaders that lean on the Bible, that is not, has no fear of speaking the gospel, because that's your word. That's your sword. It's powerful, Lord. As we discuss it today, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, you be with our nation, this time of turmoil, this time of chaos, this hate toward you, the increase of ungodliness and wickedness in our churches, in our government, in our families. We pray, Lord, that you give us the strength to counter all these battles that we have to encounter. I pray that through the Holy Spirit that we engage and we speak the word of God to each and every person that you place in our path, to be that light that should shine in the darkness, not blend in, not blend into this world like we're, like most professing Christians are doing. We blend into the workplace, we blend into the everything, and we are lukewarm. For you know you will spew us out of your mouth. I pray that you bring true believers on fire for Christ, on fire for God, to speak the truth without worrying about anything. They have count the cost, that understands through the persecution, they count it all joy, as Paul did. Lord, I pray that you just, the words in this study, that you just give us strength, open our hearts, our minds to it. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, we've gone through the scriptures, and now we're on verse 17, and we talked about helmet of salvation last week, and now we're talking about the sword of the Spirit, which is, here he said, is the word of God. And always go back during Paul's time, he's comparing a Roman soldier, the armor of a Roman soldier. And I like to go back in history because we kind of, and he's using an illustration here. And I like to go back and talk a little bit about during that time with the Roman soldiers. They had sword, and they always had a sword with them. It was, and if you look at it and you Google it, you can Google it. This wasn't a long, heavy sword like it was a light. It was actually a light 2-foot weapon used in close hand-to-hand combat. I don't know if you're like me. I like watching shows that has swords. I don't know if you guys ever seen Conan the Barbarian. Well, Arnold's old school. He had his long sword and he was practicing. That's not the sword he's talking about. If you go back and you look at other movies, or you can Google it, you'll see a sword. I think the movie Gladiator, Russell Crowe, I think they had a sword about that resembled that. And it was made for hand-to-hand combat, close combat, getting up close with that person. And these soldiers, you know, they were very proficient. They trained with it over and over. They spent hours and hours, you know, working it and knowing, getting the feel of it. They knew the sword like, you know, their right hand, their left hand. They knew how to use it just right in combat. And Paul's given this illustration to say that the word of God is a sword. It's a sword like they use in Rome, but this is a sword of the Spirit. He said, this is a sword of the Spirit. If you go to Hebrews 4:12, it gets a little bit more specific here. It said, the word of God, and we want to make really clear, this is the word of God, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder soul, spirit, joints, and marrow, and is a discretion of the thoughts, intents of the heart. Meaning the sword is sharp, is powerful, is two-edged sword. Meaning it's sharp on both edges. So we keep that in mind. And when he's speaking here, he is talking about an active word of God. You know, the Bible is a living word. Scripture is powerful, especially when we're engaging, we're engaging in spiritual warfare, when the enemy is coming at us. We counter, if we try it on our own might, our own strength, we're going to fail severely. It's the word of God that we speak. That's why memorizing scripture upon scripture and encountering the devil and his army when they come at us is very powerful. But the thing is, I was reading a study, Barn Groups, they do a study in their Christian based study, and they show that United States, and they done a survey, they're credible, that United States is one of the most illiterate Bible nation in the world. Meaning people don't read their Bible. The data, if you look at Barn Group and you look at their studies and you look at these studies, they'll rock you, because people are not studying their Bible in the United States like they should. And the professing Christians only open their Bibles on Sunday, and the numbers, I can't quite remember on the numbers, but man, it'll shake you. I'm just saying, a lot of people speaking a good game out there and not really doing it. And the thing is, they're not hurting me. They're not hurting you. They're hurting themselves, because God sees everything that they're doing. He knows when you pick up the word of God. He sees how you live your life to that world, how you misrepresent him. He sees that every day. He sees that every day. And it's important for us to take the word of God, to put it in our heart, that sword, because it's offensive and defensive. Meaning, when we're being attacked, we use the word of God. When we're trying to gain ground, when you see somebody on the street or some God place somebody in the workplace. And provided you're not scared of saying the word Jesus in the workplace, which most professing Christians are scared to say the word Jesus in the workplace. I'll say Jesus all the time in the workplace. I don't care. If you can get past that part and do what God really needs you to do, then we can gain some ground, right? But somebody is in your workplace and they're hurting and they need to talk about Jesus. You talk about Jesus right then and there. You don't care who's around. Because what? The word of God is powerful. Yes, if you lose your job, God will provide another job. Fear of the spirit of fear, what the devil puts into your heart. You're going to lose your job. You're going to lose your income. Blah, 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 blah. If you're doing it in God's will, God will take care of you. He does it every time. If you're doing it in your will, He won't. And to reach that lost person out there with the gospel, to lift them up with the word of God, and you're gaining ground for Jesus, you're using that. It's offensive and defensive. The sword is most powerful. So, you know, every day, you know, we should, as the Roman soldiers, would practice with the sword and know it. It becomes part of them. They don't have to think twice about it. We should take the word of God, and we should be so immersed in it with scripture that it comes natural to us, not that we have to struggle with it. You know, we look at, if you want to look at, there's quite a few illustrations you can use here. If you look at Jesus when he was tempted, he fasted for 40 days and you know, 40 nights, and afterward he was hungry. And in that moment, a weakness or tiredness, I wouldn't say it was weakness, he was flesh, so he was hungry. The devil came to him. And he tempted it in three ways. But every time, if you look at that account, it's in Matthew, I believe. Let me flip to it. Every time he was encountered. Let me just read it here. Matthew 4. And we'll just read down to 10. Then was Jesus led up to the spirit of the wilderness to be tempted. See, he had to say he was led into the spirit to be tempted of the devil. And he had fast 40 days and 40 nights. And he was afterward a hunger. And when he was tempted, came to him as he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be turned to bread." He said, "Look at these stones. You're hungry, man. You can turn these stones into something you can eat." And look what he said. He answered, said, "It is written." He said, "It is written." Now you got to realize, Jesus was the Word of God. God is, you know, Jesus is God. God is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is Jesus and God. And he dwells inside of us. We have the Word of God in our, we have the Holy Spirit in us, the power of God. And we have the capability of immerse memory of scripture. If we let ourselves study the way we should study and let all these distractions go out the way. And so he's using the word of God here with attack. He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone." He says, "Satan, I don't need to eat. But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, my God, he can do that. He don't need to eat. God will provide substance for you." And then after that, he spoke the word. That's the word of God. That's the spirit, right? That's the sword of the spirit. And the devil took him up in the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. It is written, ye shall give." And here the devil's trying to use the word of God. I want to get this. Satan is clever. He is deceptive. He has confused and deceived most of the churches in America to a point where they would even know the truth if it's set in their face and spoke it, like the Pharisees and Sadducees when they were in the temple day and night, and then Jesus there, the Word of God was right there looking at them, and they could not see it. Today's the church is the same way. We have decided, we have wickedness and holiness within our churches. We have distorted Scripture upon Scripture. We're not using the Word of God that we're supposed to. We're putting programs in place of God's Word. The Word of God is what's supposed to bring people to church, not programs. Programs are good to have. There's nothing wrong with them. The Word of God should be the first thing that brings a person into church. A hunger for the Word of God. A hunger for the Spirit of God. He says, "Send unto him, if thy son of man cast thy down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. In thy hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt." You ain't going to tempt me, Satan. The Lord thy God, he took his position. He took his word. He used it to cut the devil's throat. And then the devil took him up to the senior high mountain and shew him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou shalt fall down and worship me. And the Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. He said, notice how he said, it is written every time. It is written. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And then the devil left him. And then the angels came and ministered unto him. To me, that's the best illustration. You can give quite a few illustrations. Going to the Word of God, give me an illustration. Every time he said, it is written. You know, when the devil's coming at us and we're in spiritual warfare, the sword is most powerful. When the devil's there saying, hey, you're useless. You're hopeless. God don't love you. All the deceptions and lies. You take the Word of God. And you say, Satan, it is written. This is what Jesus told me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. What I'm going through is going to accomplish good. That's why Paul could say, through your tribulations. And it's just amazing, right? This is that's crazy. We use the Word of God, right? He loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die for our sins. It's the blood that was shed on the cross, his death. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, the shedding of blood, there would be no remission of sin. It took the death of Jesus and the shedding of his blood. They go together. Just put them separate is a lack of understanding of the Bible. They go together. The blood was real. It was spilt. It bled to the ground. His blood was real. It soaked the ground. Every stripe that tore his skin and the blood squirt, it was real. The blood is powerful. So taking that in account, I just want, you know, I don't know who's out there listening to all this, and I want to, you know, kind of close this down and just speak from the heart. You know, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, don't wait till it's too late. Don't wait until, you know, tonight could be your last night on this earth. You know, giving your heart to Jesus is easy. Signing, you know, discipleship is not easy. But giving your life to Jesus, you know, see, this world is temporary. We live, if you're lucky, 100 years, and then we die, and we will meet Jesus one way or the other, and he will look at us, and he will, if you have not accepted him into your heart, you will not go to heaven. And I have several messages on salvation. I pray, you know, if you feel the need to check it out, and you got a, and I have, you know, I have a comments you can send me day and night. I have my phone number on there. You can call me. Just don't put off to the last minute bringing Jesus into your heart. He's there. You have to open your heart to him. You got to understand that we're in a battle. And time is getting very, very close to an end. Jesus is coming back soon. If you guys bow with me, we'll pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, just thanking for everything that you have done for us. The blood that was shed on Calvary, the death of your Son. Without the blood, there would be no redemption. No redemption for us. Thank you for that so much. And he didn't remain on the cross. Jesus didn't. They took him down, placed him in a tomb. He rose, Lord. And because of this, the resurrection and him ascending back up to heaven after he was with the disciples appearing, and he says, I'm coming back, and he leaves us the Holy Spirit and all this, that we have a chance to redeem through the blood of Jesus Christ, to become children of God. And once we're children of God, everything that is old is now new. Everything we want is all focused on you. Nothing in this world matters other than spreading the gospel and representing you with all of our heart and soul and mind. Lord, I pray, Lord, that as Monday approaches us, whoever's listening to this, I pray that you be with them throughout the week, Lord, that wherever battles are having, the despair, the hopelessness, or what's going on, I pray, Lord, you be with them, uplift them. I pray if they haven't accepted you yet, Jesus, that they just seek you out. They just tear into the scriptures, Lord. If they want to listen to my messages on salvation, I pray, Lord, you guide them over there, Lord. I just want to thank you for allowing us to come today and discuss the Word of God. Thank you for everything you do for us, Lord. Pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen.